Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Davis hanging out with Kevin Dunn and Brad Kellner. It is a Motown-esque Thursday edition of the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm not sure who this is, but this is a nice jam.
Thanks. This is BK.
No.
The Shamones.
Singing. The Shamones.
I just threw that out there.
I know you did.
Because a lot of them
but
back
it sounds
then.
Like it sounds like it could have been a band real, back right? then. It does.
BK Shamones. And the Velvettes. Minus the BK and the...
The Velvettes.
Actually, they're still there.
The Velvettes?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's kind of one of those names.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't know if he was having fun and giving another one.
No, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I like that. The Shamones. All right. Let's get back to kind of what Michael Jackson used to say. Didn't he used to say like Shamone? Didn't he would always say like Shamone?
Was it Shamone or?
Michael Jackson used to make up words all
he
the time.
He did.
Isn't that a song by The Knack?
I know what you're talking about, though.
No, I
no,
just...
It was My Sharona, not Shamone.
It's different.
I don't think he used to make up words like Shamone, but I can't do it like Michael used to do it, of course.
No.
Yeah. No, of course, I know this.
I know. Well, I
I'm
know.
I'm not cool enough to make up words.
Isn't that a Girl Scout cookie?
A Shamone?
It's a Samoa.
Samoa.
One of these days, I'll be right.
I finally, for the first year... This is the first year that I've actually gotten all the names of the cookies. I just knew it could be called Thin Mint, and I think that one's actually called
How
Thin
many
Mint.
Cookie types of cookies are there?
They've got, like, what, 10? 10
yeah.
different types?
But some of them have different names in different regions. So where I grew up in the streets of far North Dallas, our names were different.
Yeah.
Than Austin, Texas.
Uh-huh.
Is that mm-hmm. is that for real? That's
real
crazy.
Thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So
even
Samoa's...
more cookie cutter and whiter.
What you talking about? Samoas are what they were called for me in the Metroplex, but Caramel Delights are what they're called here.
Okay.
And then peanut butter patties, you know, the chocolate peanut butter ones?
Yes.
Those might be my favorite. Those are called tagalongs up in the streets on the other side of the tracks. A little different.
That's weird. Tagalongs.
I know. I don't know where they got that
I
name.
Don't even know
I mean,
that,
peanut
yeah.
butter patties makes way more sense.
Yeah, at least you're describing it a little bit. That's
a descriptive
what it is.
Term.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's a random tangent.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to things sports related here, gentlemen. All right, the mock draft season is underway, and it is in full force. Everybody's coming up with mock drafts all over the place. Well, Henry McKenna of For the Win, USA Today Sports, did a really good job because he actually did a comprehensive, basically consensus mock draft where he combined five different mock drafts. Draft Wire, Touchdown Wire, Pro Football Focus, NFL.com, CBS.com, also The Ringer. Oh, and he takes Todd McShay and Mel Kiper. So he takes all those different mock drafts, and he averages out each player's draft position in all those different mock drafts, essentially creating his own big board. And essentially on his big board, I think everybody's big board, Trevor Lawrence is number one.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise there. All right. He's got one as his best position, as his worst position on all of those mock drafts. He's number one. That's his average draft position. He's number one. But Zach Wilson, same thing. Zach Wilson is number two.
Yep.
Consensus
mm-hmm.
on everybody's mock draft, at least the ones that he's considered. So that's Jacksonville, number one, Trevor Lawrence, number two.
Now, number three.
Jets, the J-E-T-S, Jets, with Zach Wilson. Number three.
Mm.
That's when it starts to break up a little bit.
I'm seeing Mac Jones and Trey Lance.
They have
one of those. I'm actually not seeing as much Fields.
Yeah.
But Fields is in there,
he
obviously,
did go,
on some of these.
They did go to Justin Fields' pro day recently. Mm-hmm. He had another pro day. And the San Francisco 49ers did say they're going to go to Justin Fields' second pro day. But Trey Lance is the consensus pick here. His average draft position is 4.625, but his best position is number three. So they got Trey Lance going to your San Francisco 49ers KD. Mm-hmm. They have him, the worst position that he's been mocked at in these mocks that are considered is eighth. So they're saying he's not going to get out the top 10, which I agree with. They have Justin Fields fourth in this consensus mock draft, and he's going to the Atlanta Falcons, they say. I think somebody's going to move up and try to take that Falcons pick from them.
I do, too.
And something to see, Arthur Smith is smart enough to know that quarterback position is job security. Let Matt Ryan, you know, kind of ride off into the twilight. Then you'll get four more years to pick your quarterback. Right? Right now, everybody will blame all of the bad things that happened to that team on Matt Ryan's deterioration. Man, you got to get a quarterback. Got to get a quarterback. But if they start off hot right now, then great. Then you start off hot and you got job security. But if things start off bad and you get a quarterback right away, then you've already started your clock.
No doubt.
The clock is ticking. I think Atlanta's going to trade out of that pick.
Yeah, I think Atlanta holds the keys to the rest of the first round.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Because we know quarterback is going one, quarterback is going two, quarterback is going three. What Atlanta does at four will dictate what happens the rest of the way. Whether it's a team that trades up with Atlanta and gets a QB, that'll tell us, hey, there's going to be a lot more talented players available for the Cowboys and teams like the Cowboys picking around 10. But if Atlanta stays there and picks a Jamar Chase or a Penei Sewell, then that's going to impact how a lot of teams that don't need a quarterback draft. So
agreed.
You can make a strong case either way for Atlanta. I think they should probably stick with Matt Ryan for a little bit longer because I think Matt Ryan still gives you a good enough chance mm-hmm. to compete. I don't know if he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback at this point.
Too.
But yeah, I mean, I would address some other holes on that team and hope Matt Ryan can maybe give you something.
If they were picking second, I'd have a different take.
But
agreed.
I understand if they do take a quarterback.
Yeah.
Also, like I totally get it. You know, and ideally, in a perfect world, you let your quarterback sit for a year or two. Like, that, to me, seems like the best-case scenario. So if you're really high on Justin Fields or Trey Lance and they're there at four, you could have Matt Ryan play another year or so and then make the move right then and there.
Yeah, it's feeling out how long Ryan wants to play and how long you think he can still be a good enough quarterback.
Totally.
But I've said all along, and we'll see if I'm wrong about this. As a Niners fan, I hope I am. There's two quarterbacks that have stood out for me for this whole year, and I was on the Zach Wilson mm-hmm. boat pretty early, and I think Wilson has finally moved up. Kind of, I think he is the second best prospect in this draft, and I'm not sure about 3, 4, and 5. I'm just not. And like I said, I'm hoping I'm wrong on that, and I've been wrong on quarterbacks before, so maybe there are 5 legitimate ones, but I'm talking about top level. So if you're Atlanta at 4, I wouldn't risk that. I would go ahead and either trade it away if you could or take a Kyle Pitts.
The thing is, if you're Atlanta, this might be your highest draft pick for a while.
Could be. You're right.
I mean, if you do plan to take somebody else besides Matt Ryan, the hope is that you can compete for a playoff spot next year, meaning you're not going to have the ability to draft a high-end quarterback.
Good
Even
point.
If you're not that high on a Trey Lance or a Justin Fields, well, you might not have a pick inside the top 5 for the next couple of years.
Without trading
a bunch of first-round picks to get it.
Yeah, so, no, it's a fair point.
Yeah.
But I also feel like it puts these organizations in these weird situations where they feel obligated to take someone they're not sold on. It's like, we have to do it. And I think BK's point is right, because this happens to a lot of teams.
Oh, yeah.
And then they start selling themselves on something that maybe they don't have a consensus within the organization that this is going to be the guy.
Yeah, new coach, new quarterback. That's usually the way it happens. Mm-hmm. Everybody, every new coach wants their own quarterback, their own guy. So I wouldn't doubt if the new coach for the Falcons just wants his own quarterback. But I think Matt Ryan can go for a few more years. But BK makes a good point. If you're not going to be picking in the top 5, you're probably not going to have a chance at hitting on one of those top guys. So they have the Falcons staying there and getting Justin Fields at number 4. Number 5, they had Kyle Pitts going to the Cincinnati Bengals to join Joe Burrow. And I could see that.
I love that.
As a freak, that's hard to pass up.
Yeah.
They probably need Penei Sewell, though. But
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Pitts is going to Cincinnati. I think they're either going to take Penei Sewell if they decide to draft an offensive lineman to protect Joe Burrow, which he needs some protection.
My God,
that guy was running for his life last year, and finally he ran out of luck.
That
nasty, nasty knee injury. You got to protect your most valuable investments. So I think Penei Sewell is probably the play. I think that's the play mm-hmm. that Bengals should make at 5. But if they don't, if they do take a weapon, I think they're taking Jamar Chase. They're going to take the guy that already has that built-in chemistry with Joe Burrow. Like, to me, that makes more sense than taking a Kyle Pitts, because I think both of those guys are awesome. I think both of those guys are going to be Pro Bowl, perennial Pro Bowl type of skill position players on offense, but why not take the guy who's already worked with your quarterback before so you know they've got that built-in chemistry?
I can see that, and I'll disagree with you on the Pitts thing, though. I think Pitts is such a difference maker. I've seen Jamar Chases of the world, and he could be a perennial Pro Bowler. He's a badass. I haven't seen many Kyle Pitts. Pitts is different as a tight end compared to Jamar Chase as a wide receiver, and we've talked about how deep that is, so I understand the offensive lineman thing, too, because mm-hmm. the video game Madden part of me was like, oh, God, Burrow and Pitts. You know, that would be fantastic.
Yeah,
well, you know, Burrow needs to be upright.
You can't turn off injuries in real life.
Yeah,
right, exactly. You can turn them off in the video game.
Exactly.
You can't turn off that feature.
So probably go offensive line. But for me, if you do go with someone, Kyle Pitts is the separator.
Yeah, I think it'd be highly irresponsible, borderline
criminal
coaching malpractice.
Right.
Yeah, to not get Penei Sewell, not give him an offensive lineman to protect Joe Burrow, considering he just is coming off of an injury that
ended his
season.
Especially because of that.
But I see what both of you guys are saying. So they have at five, they got Miami taking Jamar Chase. I think that that could easily end up being Kyle Pitts there too. That Miami could decide, no, we want Kyle Pitts for a young Tua. So that's at number six. At number seven, Detroit Lions. I got them taking Penei Sewell. If he's there, they'll probably take him. But
that'd be a nice pick at seven.
I don't know if he'll be there. I don't think Penei Sewell will be there.
I guess the question is, are they in a spot where they're definitely going to go offensive line? And, you know, I've seen a lot of different reports that there are really different grades by all 32 teams on Sewell, Slater, really those two. But then also Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech, who's actually kind of been rising up in this. So I'm curious if those guys, if people reach for them, or if they say, no, I'm taking Sewell or bust.
I don't understand this next pick, because this is after the deal was made for Sam Darnold, I believe. This article came out.
Okay.
April 5th. They got the Carolina Panthers taking Mac Jones.
Interesting.
At eight. But they just said that's their average draft position is 9.125.
Yeah, I doubt everybody mentioned in this article has updated.
That's kind of how I feel about that
since
too.
That Darnold trade
because
went down.
Everything that I'm reading right now, the latest mock drafts, they got the 49ers taking Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Like most of the latest mock
seeing
drafts,
that too.
They have them. I'm talking about Todd McShay, yep. All of them.
They're not taking
the
Mac
insiders.
Jones.
I don't think so either. But you know what? I don't know. I'm not gonna say I know for sure because I don't know.
I don't either.
I know for sure.
How do you know for sure?
I know for sure.
I don't know for sure.
I'm in a group text.
I don't
Shanahan,
know for sure.
Mac Jones, and Justin Fields.
That's unfair.
And Shano texted both of them saying, I'm taking Fields. And then he removed Mac Jones from the group text. Now it's just the three of us that are there. Now, we've talked about it before. I just don't think Shanahan would have given up that much to go draft Mac Jones.
Right? Like Mac Jones would have been there.
He didn't have to move up nine spots to get that dude. I don't think he's the type of guy who's that enamored. Like, I don't know if the ceiling for Mac Jones is that much higher than what Jimmy Garoppolo has been for their team.
Hey, if he's Tom Brady, then he's worth it.
Yeah, well, he's got the same body as Tom Brady.
Exactly. That's the comparison is that he processes like Brady. I'm like, really? He processes like Brady? Mm.
And he could be a starter in this league. Jones could be, but he's not Brady.
Oh, man. Yeah, of course. I think he'd be a starter.
I will come out and be, I will declare right
wow,
there.
Wow, that's bold.
With all three of us.
That he's not going to be Brady?
He's not going to be Tom Brady.
No, I'm going to give you so much crap.
He ain't
going to
be Breeze. He ain't going to be Brady. I go to our list.
And Mobley's not going to be Jordan.
I'm going to give you so much crap when Mac Jones wins his eighth Super Bowl.
I know.
I'm never going to let you live that down. I'm going to mark the tape for that one right there.
Happen. Please don't.
But, you know, I still think there's a little bit of a chance, a greater than 0% chance, that even after the Sam Darnold trade, Matt Rhule and Carolina would draft a quarterback there.
Good.
They don't have a lot of holes on that roster, guys.
No, and they're trading Teddy Bridgewater, reportedly, if he doesn't want to stay.
So it's like, we heard so many rumors about the Panthers being enamored with Deshaun Watson. They really wanted Deshaun Watson. They were seemingly willing to give up anything to get Deshaun Watson. They feel like they're a quarterback away from really being there. And just they might give themselves an extra shot, like to have Darnold, but also draft the quarterback and let them compete and just hope one of those guys is good enough to lead them to the playoffs. Because I think there's a belief within that organization that they don't need that much better of quarterback play. And with the rest of the guys that they have, they could really compete in the NFC.
Also, a sense of urgency. Matt Rhule's a really smart guy. You guys don't have a man crush on Matt Rhule, have for a long time. He knows he's only going to have Joe Brady for a year, maybe two.
Mm.
He knows Joe Brady's gone. He knows Joe Brady's on the fast
the
track. With the way everybody's falling in love
Brady's
with OCs.
Brady's going to be the president in 6 months.
Exactly, right?
I already voted for him.
Yeah, I know.
I wrote him in last election.
So I think he understands, like, all right, I got like 1 year to get a quarterback linked up with Joe Brady and then have him develop him and then, you know, hopefully get him started on the right track. So I think there's a lot of reasons for a sense of urgency there. Number nine, guys, Denver Broncos. They got him taking Patrick Surtain. That would be bad news, I guess, for Cowboys fans. A lot of people have had the Cowboys mocked with getting Patrick Surtain there at nine. But at 10 for the Dallas Cowboys, gentlemen, Rashawn Slater, the offensive tackle from Northwestern. Average draft position is 10. Best position, they have him at 7. They say he falls no deeper or no later in the first round than 14 on all the mock drafts.
So, okay.
Cowboys getting an off a franchise left tackle, BK?
I think Rashawn Slater's a stud.
I do, too. Stud, right? That'd be great pick.
If he or Penei Sewell are there at 10, it'd be tough to turn that down.
Yep.
My question is, how hot is Mike McCarthy's seat, guys? I mean, there are fans who wanted McCarthy fired after his first year. I would say those fans are irrational, considering everything stacked against Mike McCarthy last year with the no offseason and obviously the injury to Dak Prescott, but there are some folks who believe that, like Mike McCarthy, if he doesn't win this year, he might be on his way out.
Hmm.
I ask that question because The Cowboys do not need a tackle for 2021 if their two tackles stay healthy. Big if, right? Tyron Smith only played two games last year. He's missed at least three games in the last four seasons.
Yeah.
Well, Collins didn't play last year due to an injury. But if those guys are healthy, they're two of the better tackles in football.
Yep.
I mean, Tyron Smith's a borderline Hall of Famer. Lael Collins is a Pro Bowl caliber player. If those guys stay healthy, you don't need Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater next year. So if Mike McCarthy's seat is hot, or at least warming up, you don't take those guys. You take a guy who's going to help you win next year, and that would be a defensive back. Patrick Surtain, a J.C. Horn, somebody like that.
Okay.
So that's my thought right there. Like, I don't think the Cowboys are going to end up taking an offensive lineman at 10. I don't think they should, to be quite honest. I really don't, because I think this team should be trying to win next year. And an offensive lineman, a guy who hopefully doesn't play for you, like, that to me doesn't seem like a necessary pick right there. They have to address the O-line and get depth for the future.
Yeah.
But if their plan is to win right now, I don't know why using, or I don't know how using your top 10 pick on an O-lineman for next year helps you do that.
How big of a gamble is it to think that Tyron Smith is ever going to be as healthy or as good as he once was?
It's a gamble.
I mean,
it's a risk.
He played in exactly 13 games the three previous years before last year. You can live with that. Not ideal. You want a guy playing 16 and now 17 games, but you can live with that. Like, that's okay. If you told me right now I could sign up for Tyron Smith playing 13 games next year, I'll sign it right
okay.
now. I'm perfectly fine
And not
with that.
Take a tackle at 10.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But if you're telling me he's going to play two, like he did last year, obviously that makes things interesting. So, look, he's getting older. He's not getting any younger. I said the same thing twice, but I mixed it up for you. I don't know why they pay me to do this job. But I'm going to bank on Tyron Smith playing more than half the season at least. I'm banking on him playing double-digit games next year. And the hope is the Cowboys have somebody on their roster right now or somebody they drafted around two or three or four this year that can prevent a major, major drop-off if something were to happen.
He just hit the nail on the head there.
Yep, I was going to get into it too.
You got to look at the depth of the draft on your draft board.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got, you think, pretty good offensive tackles that are close enough in the second and third round, you go take a cornerback there. If you think you've got cornerbacks that are pretty close to J.C. Horn and Surtain that you can get in the second and third round, but the tackle drop-off is huge, you go take a tackle. Is that it, Rod?
I totally agree. I think KD just hit the nail on the head, and you let him down the path, BK. That's it. And you won't know that until draft day. You won't know it until the moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you won't know if, does Penei Sewell drop all the way down there? Has no cornerback been drafted in the top 10 by the time you get there? Then you'll know, based on your board, all right, you know what? I'm going to bank on there being a first-round corner that's going to drop to the second round. And if it does, that's where you've kind of found your starting corner from Alabama last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you found Diggs, right?
Yep.
He was a guy that was right on the border of being a first-round guy, and you found him in the second round. So I agree, you've got to play it really at the time, depending on how the draft is laying out.
I feel like Jerry Jones is doing a lot of drafting like he's about to die. He's drafting like he's dying.
I agree with that.
And he wants a Super Bowl so badly, right?
He's come out
and said he'd trade his Hall of Fame jacket for another Super Bowl win. So I just think he's in short-term mode.
Long-term,
drafting a tackle that high, smart play. But short-term, to me, it's not the smart play.
God, that's just so frustrating running an organization like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still not take the tackle. I, like I just said, that may be the right move. But the fact that you're doing it because of your owner and worried about, you know, if he's going to be dying. Weird transition. There really is none. Let's just get to AppleLeasing.com because you know what? Jerry is a good businessman. That's your transition. And if you want to save some money, all you got to do is do it with Apple. They've been around for 30 plus years, really friendly people, and they'll customize that lease for you. So if you've got a lease in mind that works for your family, kids, sports, and all that stuff, and you may need it for different seasons, get in touch with them. Just get online and let them know what you're looking for. They've got reps online, or you can take that free quote to see where you stand in the market. If you've got a trade-in, that's going to help out. You can calculate the value of that online or call them 512-346-9977 or AppleLeasing.com.
Rod B., do you still have that article open, sir?
Yes, sir.
Any Longhorns in the consensus first-round mock draft?
There are no Longhorns
in
the consensus mock draft. Yes, as we have, because both KD and I are mock sluts, so we love
really
mock drafts.
Yeah. You can take out the word mock, too.
yes, you can, actually.
Yeah.
But I look over...
Guilty as charged.
I look over three or four. It can just be some jabroni put out a mock draft, and I'll read it.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter who it is.
I'll mock it. I'll mock the mock.
I'll mock the mock. Exactly, but
which
I'm going
to
read
it. Which I enjoy also. That's how much we love mocks. I like mocking mocks.
And you would agree with me, less Longhorns in the first round of the latest mock drafts.
No doubt.
All across the board, professional and those who are just the amateurs.
Without a doubt. Yeah. And Cosme is actually the one who's in there. I've seen Osai not in two-round mocks.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought, man. Yeah. And I said all along, I said on the show, I thought both those guys would be second-round picks. And nothing against them. It's just how deep the draft is. And I see it year in and year out. But for him to slide out of the second round, someone's going to get a steal.
It's crazy.
Yeah, to me, what's happening with Joseph Osai and Sam Cosmi is akin to what happened in the Shakespearean tragedy, Julius Caesar.
Oh, go for it. I like this. Go for it.
So you know how after Julius Caesar was slain by Brutus and a few other cats, they wanted to speak first.
They too are honorable
they
men.
They wanted to speak to the Romans or the whatever group of people that was first. They wanted to send the message out there that here's why we did this, here's why this is a good thing. They spoke first. Then after they spoke, somebody else spoke and convinced the Romans that, nah, it's a bad idea. Julius Caesar was our guy. We need to be pissed at the guys who just killed this dude.
Mm-hmm.
How that compares. I think the Texas players are getting hurt because they had their pro day very early. I think people are so enamored by recent pro day numbers by guys at similar positions to the Texas players that their stocks are going up. And, oh, we haven't heard anything good about Joseph Osai or Sam Cosmi in a while. We haven't seen those numbers in a little bit.
Could be right about that.
Yeah, I would hope they'd be more sophisticated than that.
I thought that was great. I mean, for Cliff
they may
Notes,
not be.
For all I did for Cliff Notes in high school reading that.
No, that was fantastic.
No, I think you're.
I didn't even know the story.
Yeah. I think Miko's right about something, though. I think he's got a good point because we have seen a disproportionately high amount of low 40-yard dash times, and freakish measurables, right? Whether it be verticals, all these different things. And we know just from the 20 years of studying combines and pro days that everybody performs better at their pro days. All the numbers are better at pro days. So all the numbers are high, sky high. I mean, in terms of their value, right?
You're talking home
40-yard dash is low.
Yeah,
the home pro days as opposed to combine where one is a pressure cooker and the other is tailor-made to showcase your abilities.
You slept in your bed the night before.
All those things, right? Yeah, you got people cheering you on. Mm-hmm. It's just a very different circumstance, very different situation. So I agree with BK. I think everybody's performing really well at their pro days, but Texas, you know, what have you done for me lately? And I agree they should be more sophisticated than that, but the mock drafters aren't.
No.
The scouts should be,
scouts
I think will be. But mock drafters aren't sophisticated creatures.
No.
They.
But a lot of them are talking to scouts.
They can be influenced. Some of them are, not
some.
All of them.
The good ones are.
The good ones are.
Yeah.
The good ones are.
I think it's more about volume, so I just think Texas was early on, and there were some really impressive numbers. Now, if some of these guys hadn't impressed, then the volume would only help. But now there's just more people that actually have numbers, and like you hit the nail on the head, are at their own pro day and are killing it. So, yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of that. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is more about the fact that there's more hats in the ring, but if those hats come in late, it gets to BK's point.
Yeah.
That they're going to be talked about more recently.
No,
you know?
I agree with that. It's unfortunate, but it's all right. But Joseph Osai is going to be I think he's a starter in the NFL, actually, at one point. But those guys will be fine.
All right, you guys know I'm not a huge golf guy, but, man, with the majors, I'm all in. And the Masters has been one that I've enjoyed my whole life. And it's been cool having a Longhorn and someone I was able to meet and cover to really compete. We'll get into Jordan Spieth, what's going on with him, and also kind of just his whole story, because it's been a pretty crazy one. Up next, I'm One and Done.
I like that 5-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's One and Done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Let's go One and Done time. I am going to talk golf. I am going to talk Jordan Spieth, but I got to do a little potpourri here because we didn't mention that. I'm not going to. No, not that. It's spelled like that.
You're going to take a crap and then spray some of that stuff in the studio? Wow.
You know what I hate about that stuff? It's why I hate Glade, is that early on I knew what that was trying to cover up. So so I knew what it was.
So when you smell
so psychologically,
Glade.
I thought a crap every time I smelled Glade.
That's not a good advertisement for Glade.
No. Well, I won't be doing that one anytime
that's
soon.
Now we have Febreze. Breathe happy Febreze.
That's true.
La, 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 la.
That was breathe crappy. Is that not what it is?
No, I think
because
it's breathe
it's in the bathroom.
Happy.
Go Ozium. That'll take care of everything.
Breathe crappy would be a pretty bad ad. pitch.
That would be bad.
No. Oh, my God. Oh, anyway.
We're not going to get endorsements from those people.
All right.
Before, those people.
Before I get to golf.
The smell good people.
And before these two get us kicked off the air, I do want to give, of course I did, I want to give Trey Faltini a shout out. I was talking to Rod during the break, and BK saw me losing it like he was losing it watching him at Bob's last night. And he's made some defensive plays the last couple weeks, and really the whole time he's been here. Trey Faltini is special defensively. He gets to balls that a lot of people don't. But the IQ last night in a one-run game that you got the bases loaded and a ball that's hitting the hole, and his only play is at third. To be able to get there, slide, and from your knees, be able to throw a strike to Cam Williams at third, the presence, the athleticism to get there, and the play he made the night before, backing up Cam Williams on a stolen base attempt, and to be able to make that throw home, that's a tough throw home.
Yeah.
I've made that throw home. And it's...
And hurt yourself in the process.
Well, of course. He made it... I wasn't that old then. He made that look easy, and it's not. He makes a lot of stuff look easy, and it's not.
I heard... So I guess this is hearsay, because I heard Craig Way say it, but he was quoting Keith Moreland, quoting Big Red, that basically he'd put Texas defensive infield up against anybody's
interesting
in the country.
Okay.
It's really good.
Yeah. I think Cam needs to be more consistent, but Cam can make special plays. Yeah. Faltini, there's no way there's a better defensive shortstop in college baseball.
Okay.
Maybe a couple that are as good. Daly's really damn good. Zuby has been nice at first,
yep.
And Ardoin's the best.
I think he said middle, though.
Catcher.
I think he said middle specifically.
Okay.
So maybe I'm wrong about that.
Yep. Short and second.
Yeah. So that's what hearsay will get you.
Yeah. No, I can see that, though. So I just want to give Trey Faltini a shout out, and he's going to be special. If he really gets that offense going, he's going to be a high draft pick. But defensively, he's good. Talk about a young guy who is good right away, Jordan Spieth. We had Justin Ray on yesterday. Shout out to Justin, who did a great job. But Justin was our researcher at LHN for that one year. His one amateur year, and it was pretty cool just to cover him. We knew he was going to be a one and done, and you knew that John Fields was trying to get that Texas golf program where it should be and get them a national championship, which they ended up winning. And he was a fun guy to cover, was a really nice guy, but Justin told me then, he said, no, this guy's going to be really special. What even Justin didn't know, and I don't think anyone knew, and I'd be surprised if even Jordan's family expected this, was for him to come on to the professional scene in the PGA Tour like he did. Gangbusters. I mean, he got his first PGA Tour win in 2013, 2014's Masters runner-up, 2015 was amazing. Masters, U.S. Open, FedEx Cup champion, world number one. I mean, think about that. 3 years after he won a national championship at Texas. And, Rod, we were laughing about it during a break because, I mean, you kept on hearing, and Justin would always have it, would say, you know, he's the first player to do this since. And it was always Tiger Woods. Like,
he was,
you know, his it's not start, like people were just saying that and saying, you know what, I think he's as good as Tiger Woods. No, the stats and the facts showed that he had been as good with that start with Tiger Woods. And it really was. Fell short at Augusta in 2016, won the U.S. Open in 2017, and then just started to kind of fall off. It had that first winless season in 2018, and he's one of those guys that he can get into his own head, and he's talked about that. If you follow him, and I'll watch him play any tournament I can, that he talks it out. I know it can be fun, and BK, you've said it can be fun to follow because for us, we're trying to find out what their process is, what's your thought process of how you're going to play this shot. But if you're really rooting for him, at times you can feel him overthinking it and psychologically getting in his own way.
That's perfectly described right there. He overthinks shots and he gets in his own way. I mean, he doubts himself. He talks through every decision, and you can hear him debating what he should do.
Yeah.
Not like figure of speech, right? Sometimes
you
say, oh, you could hear what he's saying. You could hear what he's thinking in his mind. No, Jordan Spieth
actually says it
out loud.
Yeah.
He's like, should I use this club? Should I use this club? Should I hit a flop? Should I hit a chip? I mean, like,
what are we doing here,
he
Michael?
Goes through everything. I mean, he'll talk to Michael Greller for like 2 or 3 minutes before he finally decides on what shot he's going to take.
Yeah.
And then sometimes with the shot, and you'll hear him say, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
So there's clearly been some second guessing and some self-doubt going on within the mind of the great Jordan Spieth.
So you know who you turn to? I've always talked about Augie, who would bring in a psychological coach to work with guys, and Augie was his own psychological coach of sorts. But you know who some the advice he took? Bill Belichick.
It's good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, I think Bill Belichick, it's one of the very key things, eliminate the noise. He said, I remember seeing that at Gillette Stadium, and I guess Bill had mentioned that to him too. And
this is recently, or
this was actually a couple years ago, okay. but he's been, you know, so he won the Valero Open last week.
Talk to Brady.
That was his first win in years. Yeah,
did he talk to Brady?
That's a good question.
No, I love Belichick,
but so. Think about how quickly he came on the scene.
Yeah, man.
And I really want Jordan. I don't think he'll never get back to that. I mean, that may just been a really hot start. But the last thing I want is for Jordan Spieth to fall off like a David Duval, where all of a sudden you're saying, so is this guy, could he ever win a tournament again? You go, man, I don't know. And I don't think we're anywhere near that point. And the good thing is he's still young. And because he had such a hot start, he still has a lot of good golf in front of him. But he's going to have that psychological part always. And golfers have that. And it seems like with him, that's going to be his biggest kryptonite.
Well, he got his 12th win on the PGA Tour with that Texas Open, which put him in rarefied air because he's still 27 years old.
27.
So here are the players who've gotten their 12th PGA Tour win before the age of 28. Only Tiger Woods, Justin Thomas, Phil Mickelson, and Rory McIlroy. That's it.
Wow.
That's it. So even though he's had this, a three-year drought or whatever it was,
yeah,
he had a long drought, and we know he's still probably struggling with a lot of kind of his own sports psychological issues. He still, because of his start was so epic. It was so legendary. Like you say, he started basically his career as well as any young golfer ever.
He's still on time to get there.
He's still on pace to be one
of
the all-time greats. He's just got to get it together mentally.
Yeah. No, it's like if you have a 5.5-hour trip and you just get off to a rocking start. And you pull over to a diner for 30 minutes. And we're still going to get there at the time we thought we were, estimated time of arrival. But you want to get back on the road, and that's kind of hopefully what he's doing.
What did he eat at the diner? What gave him the bubble guts? It's like he's just side of the road.
He stopped at the health camp.
Right, yeah, right.
I've done that a couple times in Waco. All of a sudden, you get to that split in Dallas, right? And I'm like, this wasn't a good
choice.
Don't
get the sushi in Lufkin. Pass, okay?
Health camp's always a good choice.
No, health camp is good.
To the sushi in Lufkin. I've not tried that one yet.
Don't do that.
But I might try
that.
It next time.
Don't do it, no. Sushi, I bet Lufkin's got a lot of good stuff. Barbecue, probably got some good Tex-Mex. It ain't sushi. Mm. Don't do the sushi.
Yeah, well, especially if you're stopping by at a gas station or something like that. I wouldn't do gas station sushi anywhere. I wouldn't do that in Tokyo. You know what I mean? I ain't touching that.
I think I would.
Yeah, maybe Tokyo.
Yeah.
Maybe Tokyo.
That's like Rudy's here in Texas, right? Gas station barbecue.
That's a good point.
You know, barbecue's legit here. Even the gas station barbecue's good. I feel
that's
like the sushi,
a hot take.
The gas station sushi would be all right over there.
That's a hot take.
That is a hot take.
That's a good take.
So make sure.
No disrespect.
Make sure I.
Quality.
Well, Bill Parcells.
I don't
here.
Think they took any offense.
Okay.
So Spieth did. He triple bogeyed 9, and he was in a pretty good spot. He still is. He's one over for the tournament, and the leader is Justin Rose.
Justin Rose
is at 6 under.
He's ridiculous
Man.
Right now. He's making everything. He's birdieing like every hole. He's making this course his. Mm.
Yeah. So Spieth tied for 22nd. Obviously, this is the opening day, but he had triple bogeyed 9, then came back in on 10 and got a birdie. So he's one over for the day. I just hope on stuff like that, he can't have those that like the 9-hole. I mean, because at times, as BK is talking about, you can hear him fighting himself and working through it, and that's when you worry about the next couple of holes after that. So it's good to see that he answered with a birdie.
I think he's back. And
you
back
do?
Doesn't
okay.
necessarily mean he's going to compete for every single major and compete in every single tournament. But, I mean, it wasn't just last week with his performance in San Antone. He's had 3 top 5 finishes since the start of February.
Mm-hmm.
So it just feels like he's got it all together.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's quite as good as what he was when he was 21, 22, 23, bursting on the scene, but it feels like he's pretty much over the stuff that's been hampering his game for the last nearly 4 years.
Yeah, it's good to have him back, and it's nice having Scottie Scheffler too, Rod. It's cool that Fields has built this program where you got, especially in an individual sport, you got guys you can follow.
Well, no doubt about it, that you actually got some Longhorns making a national impact on the game. But Jordan Spieth is the prince that was promised.
That's a great way to put it.
There was a lot riding on it for him, but there are a lot of people that feel like BK. I did see that the MGM betting website, he was the most wagered on golfer to win the Masters. A lot of people see him.
I was a little surprised
in the right direction
with that.
People are on board.
I know this course fits his game, and BK brings it up. It's not just that win. There are other things, like Justin had said, that are kind of trending in that direction. You mentioned Rory McIlroy. Did you guys see what he did earlier?
No.
He hit his dad.
He's got AIDS.
No.
Oh, I did see that.
He hit his dad.
How?
With a golf ball.
No, with a club, dude. His dad.
No, get out of here.
Charge the gallery. No, I hit him with the golf ball. It wasn't in the air, but...
But you could hear the audio, and I think his caddy said, "Did that hit your dad?" And he goes, "Yeah."
Yeah.
He was like laughing.
On a hop.
That's pretty funny.
Awesome. Good stuff. One and done. Justin Rose, your leader. Six under par through 16.
Worst piece right now?
He is tied for 22nd, one over.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Justin Rose killing it right now. We'll give you Masters updates throughout the rest of today's program here on the Triple Option with RBKD.
Through 12. Spieth is.
Spieth is through 12. Thank you, sir. When we return, it'll be off the record. We could use Steve Harvey for this one. A beauty pageant gone way, way wrong. We've got arrests. That's how wrong we're talking. We'll give you the details next.
DD Mega Doodoo. I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a break my head comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! F***ing thing sucks!
Off the Record time here on the Triple Option with RBKD alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers. I am BK Brad Kellner. Appreciate y'all spending some or all of your Thursday afternoon with us. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get back into some Texas Longhorn football conversation. Seven bold predictions for the Horns in 2020. One. But gentlemen, today's off the record story comes from Sri Lanka. You guys ever been there?
Never been. Never been. Love to. Would love to check it out.
Do you know where that is?
Sri Lanka. What do you mean, like where that is?
Yeah, my geography is going to fail me. So.
I mean, I got kind of a, let's see, no, I'm not even close.
Just give me a hemisphere. I don't need to be exact at all. I just would like to know what part of the world it's in.
Like I said, my geography.
Figured if you guys wanted to go there, you would at least know that. I didn't think I was.
It's near India, right?
Busting any brains over there. I'm asking you. I don't know.
All right. Well, I don't know either.
Okay.
You want to research the story, and then you're going to call us out.
Because y'all said you wanted to go there.
It's in Asia somewhere.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've seen, I was talking about food stuff.
I don't
want to
sound like some a-hole. It's in Asia
no
somewhere.
Disrespect.
South Asia, yes, yeah.
Well, just say
it's
like,
an island country.
But that's not geography, though, but still, like you said, it's in Asia. Asia's
huge, I know. So yeah, that's why we ended up saying it. I go, South
sound
Asia?
Like an ignoramus. India. Oh, it's in Asia somewhere. Like, oh, that's not really. So.
Or like 6 or 7 miles.
I didn't want to make myself sound so stupid there, but thanks, Miguel.
That's what I do. Yeah. That's why I'm here.
Hey, did it for all three of us.
Exactly.
Made all of us look less intelligent.
I asked the question, so I'm cool.
Well, then you said you didn't know.
Well, I asked the question. That's a normal thing. I'm a curious guy.
Yeah, so, yeah, we've seen this before. Man, it is beautiful.
Yeah, I know it's an exotic location. That's all I know. But I've, okay.
Well, about this? We had a beauty pageant over the weekend. The Miss Sri Lanka competition took place this past weekend, wherever Sri Lanka is. And we had some craziness, guys. We had ourselves something very similar to the Kanye West, Taylor Swift VMAs incident. Remember when Taylor Swift won the award for best music video of the year? She beat Beyonce, and Kanye West went on the stage and said, "I'm going to let you finish," but Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
She did.
We had something similar to that take
Kanye
place at this beauty pageant. No, it did not involve Kanye West, but the woman who was awarded the title of Miss Sri Lanka ended up in the hospital with head wounds.
What?
After somebody ripped off her crown on stage in hopes of giving the crown to the runner-up. That's right. The woman who won the title of Mrs. Sri Lanka is named Pushpika Da Silva. She was awarded the title on Sunday night.
Hmm.
But Mrs. World, apparently not Miss Universe, Mrs. World right now is a woman by the name of Caroline Jury, who is from Sri Lanka. She was at the event after Da Silva was awarded Miss Sri Lanka.
Wow.
Mrs. World, Caroline Jury, went on stage, grabbed the microphone, and claimed that Da Silva could not win the title of Miss Sri Lanka because she's actually divorced.
Oh, God, it's because of this.
And apparently that's against the rules. You are disqualified from competition if you are divorced.
How'd they not know she had been divorced?
So Caroline Jury, Mrs. World, went on stage and took the microphone and said, "There is a rule that prevents women who have already been married and are divorced, so I'm taking steps to make the crown go to second place," end quote. Then she ripped the gold crown off the Silva's head and put it on the runner-up.
Dude, that's some 1940 and 50 wow. stuff for us.
Yeah, leading to bloody wounds and also a lot of tears and Ooh. Chaos. De Silva had to be hospitalized for head injuries from a crowd being ripped off.
How many of these women got into a fight? Did somebody like join the ruckus when they got into it?
Did they screw the crown into her skull?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think like, she grabbed hair. She grabbed hair.
Probably grabbed some hair.
Yeah, that's what happens when a lot of the ladies fight. They grab the hair.
Yeah, she ended up in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And De Silva said, quote, "The pain of my skull when my crown was snatched from my head by the world. By the world married beauty queen, the pain I felt when I had lost the crown," end quote. So it was a whole sort of, that quote made no sense. I don't know why
no,
I read that.
It didn't.
As I'm reading that on my computer screen here, I'm like, what the hell is she trying
to
say?
It's probably the lost in translation. They're right. Yeah. Translating the quote.
The reporter probably just got his phone like Rod does.
Yeah.
What does this mean?
So the controversy.
And where is Sri Lanka?
That's what happens.
Yeah, the controversy here, right? It's against the rules to be divorced and win or even participate in this Miss Sri Lanka competition.
What? So stupid.
The woman did acknowledge that she and her husband live apart, but she insisted that she is not a divorced woman.
They're separated.
Right, they're separated right now. So she should still be eligible to win.
There's a difference. Why is this other lady all in her business? How does she know?
Right.
She's been stalking
she must have been
this
friends
woman?
With the woman
know?
Who finished
Why does
second.
She care?
I bet she was friends with the woman who finished second. And
all
she
right,
her
be an
to
adult.
Win.
Well. And also, you know what? It's so in vogue and so easy, and I've done it for a long time when I think it's accurate and right, but to rip on America. You know what? We got a lot of good things going on here, and we are ahead of a lot of stuff because this is, and like I said, this is 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s stuff where it's like, oh, she's divorced. So what?
You mean beauty pageants? Or just,
no, I just mean in general, like in society.
Well, some people would get
shunned because you're divorced. Like the divorce thing is not, I don't think it carries, definitely doesn't carry the same weight that it used to where that could be a big deal in certain circles.
Yeah, that's incredibly misogynist, right? Because there's no way that rule would apply to the men.
Right,
that's
that too.
Totally a shot at women over there. Like if you're divorced, you can't be.
Every country is different though. I don't know why I watch this show, but I do watch it sometimes. 90 Day Fiancé.
Man.
Yeah. It's really good trash
TV. Just claim your woman's.
But anyway.
Can you watch it?
Yeah. No, it's one of our shows we watch together sometimes. Okay. 90 Day Fiancé. But on that show, it is really difficult in other countries to get a divorce. Like literally against the law in some countries to get a divorce.
Right.
You're under the threat of going to jail over getting a divorce.
So we've had two arrests.
Yep. No, that's true.
Two arrests in this story, gentlemen. Miss World, the woman who ripped the crown off of the Miss Sri Lanka winner, and then somebody else was also arrested, and this is going to lead to a long legal battle here. Pretty crazy scene from the Miss Sri Lanka pageant. Not the craziest beauty pageant scene we've ever had. Now that is reserved, well, there are actually two candidates. The first candidate, of course.
I have to apologize.
The Miss Universe competition where Steve Harvey ran the wrong card.
Hold on, this is Miss World, right?
Right. Yeah, apparently Miss World and Miss Universe are different things.
Because there's a Miss America and a Miss, I think, USA, which are also different.
They are?
Yeah, I think one goes with Miss Universe,
Miss World,
and one goes with Miss World. Yeah, so one of them are paired up. I just don't know which is which. No. I don't know.
Still the best moment in beauty pageant history. Comes from Miss Teen USA 2007. Y'all remember this?
South Carolina.
Polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Wow. Hey. Wow.
I feel bad.
I do too.
That's not. Yeah, she probably has kids now. She's probably got a family.
She shouldn't have done that.
It was like 15 years ago.
07.
Yeah. I mean, she's probably, you know, moved on.
The Iraq middle-aged and everywhere like now. Such ads. They don't have maps. Mm-hmm. They just don't have maps over there, so I understand it. You guys apparently don't have maps. You don't know where Sri Lanka is.
Neither do you.
Yeah, I asked the question.
Yeah, you asked the question and didn't know.
Well, yeah, that's why you asked questions.
No,
you guys
do
said
that.
You wanted to go
not
to Sri
on a radio
Lanka.
Show. On a radio
was.
Show.
Oh. We're not having conversations here.
No, we kind of are. We kind of. By the way, it was one of the things I always liked about how what they did with Kramer, and Larry David was really smart with this, and it's why it set, you know, it made Kramer so just his own little character, right? Mm-hmm. And out there was the fact that he was into, like, he had seen every single Miss Universe pageant or Miss America
that.
Pageant.
Yeah.
And he knew everything.
And
he ends up being the, yeah, that was great.
It was a chaperone. That was pretty good. That was a good episode.
That's my best
underrated.
Moment. Very underrated.
Yeah. That's the one where George is trying to get the...
It's the pigeons. The doves.
I think that is part of it, too. Yeah, because part of her act is the pigeons. Remember, I think George is trying to get the... Oh, maybe it's not the one where he's trying to get the maid to not tuck the sheets so tight in the hotel room.
Okay, that's L.A.
Is that L.A.?
That's L.A.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just remember it being in the hotel room.
Well, it's not
room.
Lupe's fault.
Yeah, that's great.
Unreal. Classic.
Random.
Very random.
Yeah.
There's Off the Record from Sri Lanka here on the Triple Option with RBKD. When we come back, we'll bring things back to the States. We'll talk some Texas Longhorn football. 7 bold predictions for the Horns in 2021. We'll give them to you.